This is an MUT Radio podcast.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We have on the line a Mr. Govender. Mr. Govender was diagnosed with male breast cancer in 2013 with a very little chance of survival. Needless to say, it was a life-altering experience, given the lonely journey one faces during the treatment. He decided to volunteer his time to support cancer patients and survivors. So in the past 8 years, he has taken over chairmanship of Wings of Hope Cancer Support and has opened branches in Cape Town, Durban, and George. He also was part of the executive of the Cancer Alliance of South Africa and part of the global community to make access to cancer care and treatment more affordable. He currently works in the human rights space full-time, which connects well with his cancer work. Welcome to the show, Mr. Govender.
Hi, Mia, and good to meet both of you.
Right, thank you so much. We'll just dive into it right now. So on the day of your examination, 19 June, that was 2013, we would like to know, how did you feel when you realized that you are the only man in the room? Did you feel less of a man? In fact, did the whole experience make you question your manhood at all?
You know, quite frankly, the gender issue of being a man didn't occur to me at all during that time. Yeah. I was just paralyzed thinking that I was diagnosed with cancer. And with my limited knowledge at the time, I thought it was a death sentence. You know, you actually hear everybody say, oh, the person's got cancer, and that is it. You know, the person's not going to make it. But in hindsight, you know, I wish I'd paid more attention to the talks that employees and people actually listen to, especially at work, about cancer. You know, people go to these functions, but at the end of the day, they just walk away without really internalizing it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would say, you know, if I'd paid a bit more attention to those talks, I wouldn't have realized that it was, I would have realized that it's not a death sentence. Mm-hmm. But I suppose one only does so when it affects them. Thank you so much.
You know, most people tend to associate breast cancer with it being a disease that affects women. So, in your case, it affected a man, and it does happen. It's rare, but it does happen. So, we want to know, does it affect older men only, or does it also affect younger men?
You know, there's a myth that that breast cancer only affects women, but it affects men too. It affects both young and older women. In my experience, I've come across both.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about your experiences when you had cancer, the treatment, the whole process, the journey?
It was, it took literally 10 seconds to listen to the call, and it changed my life forever. I just stood there silent, thinking, what's my next step? You know, I really didn't know what to do. But the journey itself was tough. Going for surgery initially, and you think that's a walk in the park, you know, where they remove the tumor. And then, because it was so rare, it's only 1% of all breast cancers that are men. The 99% are women. And they didn't know what treatment to give me, you know, because I was a man. And then they sent my tumor to California in the U.S. To check what kind of treatment I should receive. So while I waited for the result of that test in the U.S., I continued with radiation for a month, 30 consecutive days of radiation. And people would tell you that radiation is tough. And that's simply because they usually have radiation after the chemotherapy. In my instance, I had it before, so I was tired, but it was fine. The most difficult part for me was going through the chemotherapy itself. I had, it was over a 10-month period, 16 sessions of chemotherapy. And, you know, one wonders whether it's actually worth it because of the devastation that it does to your body. It kills everything. It kills every single cell in your body. And you would know that people will have cancer and chemotherapy, they look bald, they don't have eyebrows, they don't have any hair at all in the body. And that's simply because the chemo is actually killing every cell. It's killing good cells and the cancer cells at the same time. So I think that was the toughest part for me in terms of the treatment. And you know, you think about it. Do you really want to go through this? And sometimes you think, no, you know, it's just not worth it. But yeah, I am. I mean, I was given very little chance of survival when I was first diagnosed. It's now 8 years that I'm in remission. Mm-hmm. And the battle that it needs to be won in your mind first before anything else. And if you can't win that battle in your mind, I mean, you will just slide away. I've seen it so many times that people just give up. You know, so that's the treatment side of the journey that I went to. But there are lots of other things that happen. You know, your views on the world change. You look at things differently because it's a life-altering experience. It's a completely life-altering experience of in so many different ways.
We are going to get into some questions that we got from our listeners. Anonymous says that his mom was diagnosed with breast cancer in July and they cannot afford medical aid. They are barely surviving and they've done nothing about it because of their financial situation. Is she as good as dead now that they are a poor family?
You know, this is a common question. There is no, it links to the healthcare system in our country. But it's also unfortunate that one has to have a medical aid to receive cancer treatment in private hospitals because that's where the numbers are a bit lower. However, there are many public hospitals that offer cancer treatment, especially in the Durban area like Addington and in Kosi Albert Tutuli. So I would advise the listener to take her mom to one of those hospitals where they can get the necessary treatment.
Mr. Governor, you know, we know that actually this is a very difficult conversation and also it is very sensitive. But then sure. We have a question here from Anonymous who says, I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the end of August and I am scared to tell my wife. I didn't even think I have breasts. I am a man, for good sake. Where do I find the courage to tell her, let her alone survive this?
You know, also, thank you so much for this. This is one of the most common problems amongst men because of the stigma of being diagnosed with male breast cancer. And it can never be underestimated, you know, the stigma part of it. I've supported many men through the you know, where they could not bring themselves to disclose their diagnosis with their partners and family. It all comes down to how societies view that men are, it's a macho society, and that only women have breasts. It's a common error that people make. I've also worked in many communities where you try to bring men together to actually educate them, but they also in the same vein that hell no, you know, this is not something that's going to happen to a man. What is wrong with you? You know, it takes courage. It takes, you have to do it step by step. I would have first advised the listener, the anonymous, to say, you know, talk to her, give her some information about cancer itself, about breast cancer, and then move on to male breast cancer and explain that men have breasts too, albeit smaller tissues. And that's the fundamental problem. Men do not think that they have breast tissue at all. You know, they think it's because men have smaller breasts, whereas women have more bigger tissue breasts. You know, and that's the fundamental difference. It's all about the education. And I know that I've also supported a man where he actually didn't disclose this to his family at all. And he runs it almost like a second life, you know, that he's running on the side. And then he eventually disclosed it to his wife on the condition that she wouldn't disclose it to any of the family members. And that's how he worked with her. And I really hope that he had the courage at some stage to actually speak to the family about his diagnosis. It's a fundamental huge problem in our society where, you know, people look at certain illnesses that are very, very gender specific rather than saying, hey, it's just the illness and let's deal with it. But it's the stigma that's attached to it. That's the way I would approach it. Thank you so much.
Zulu man from Umlazi K section says that he has listened to you, but with all due respect, he cannot believe that he, as a Zulu man, can ever have breast cancer. And other Zulu men would probably laugh at him. He would rather suffer in silence than come out. And he is it's not just, this is a common way of thinking, and it's not just Zulu men, but generally black men view any form of illness as a sign of weakness, which is frowned upon in the black culture. So what is your view on that?
Look, like I've mentioned earlier, I've tried over the last 8 years, because that's as long as I've been surviving, to educate men, including black men. I have been to many of the black townships and areas like that to speak to men, because we know that the incident is rising. But there's a complete block to say that, hey, you know what, this is possible. And it's exactly what you are saying. How can a man get breast cancer? The immediate reaction is to laugh, as they believe that only women have breasts. And that is, again, trying to educate them to say, open your shirt, have a look. You've also got nipples. And the fact that you've got nipples and not big tissues mean that you have breasts too. You know what I mean? And that's the one thing to actually tell them. But it's through the education. I keep harping on that. But we also have to blame our education system and society's ignorance about the macho-ness of men. Yeah. You know, society puts men on a certain pedestal, yeah, to say that they are the men, and nobody's going to actually question that, okay? So I would say, in addition to dealing with the treatment, being diagnosed with breast cancer is very, very tough for anybody to overcome, because of the stigma of being ridiculed and of being a lesser man. I've been called that many, many times. You know, what kind of man are you? How does one, that's a woman's disease. And, you know, to be honest with you, initially, I too just told people that I had cancer, and I was too embarrassed to mention that it was breast cancer. And eventually, I had to find the courage and strength deep within myself to overcome my own fears and speak the truth and know that, and in that truth, you can help somebody else, you know, and that's the way I've done it. I know initially I felt exactly the same way as Zulu man from Umlazi K section, you know, but in the education process, what I tell people is that you have to keep in mind that the survival rate of men with breast cancer is very, very low. And there's two reasons for that. The number one, all cancer groups show an emphasis for women to check their bodies during October and do the necessary tests. And men should also do that, you know, feel their bodies. And if there's anything unusual, they need to actually sort that out, you know, rather than waiting for it to actually get to a point where it's irreversible. And that's the problem why I say the survival rate is quite low, is because it's diagnosed so late, because you can't see the lump as you would see in a woman, you know, because they have bigger breast tissue. So I would advise people, regardless of whether you're a man, whether it's a society, you quietly in your bath, whether you're bathing or having a shower, feel your body. And if you feel that something that's unusual there, go out and have it checked, okay? And dealing with the macho-ness and the stigma is all about education at the end of the day. Thanks.
Mr. Govinda, I'd like to take things back to the education system basically lacking. In your opinion, I noticed when I was researching that it's mostly NGOs that are doing the heavy lifting with raising awareness, raising funds.
Yeah.
What do you think the government needs to do more, or people need to do more to educate people more about breast cancer and it affecting men as well? Generally, just fundraising, helping people get to know and understand breast cancer. What do you think they need to do more? What do you need from the government?
I think it has to be, since we're speaking about the government, it has to be a two-pronged approach. The first one is to embed something, the education process, in the school system, especially in the school system. And part of it is breaking down barriers between men's illnesses and women's illnesses and illnesses that this affect everybody. It's like HIV and AIDS, very, very similarly, you know, it everybody has this perception that it only affects certain people, and that's not true. It's really, really not true. You can get it at any time. And the same thing with cancer. People need to understand how it happens, why it happens, and is there any way that you can prevent it by doing tests. That's the one area at the school system. The other area in the school system or the education system is to teach everybody, boys and girls, about being comfortable with their bodies and how to feel it. And like I said with the earlier question, if there's anything unusual, they need to bring it either to the parents' notice or to someone's notice to say, listen, this is happening to me. And to remove the stigma, we live in a very sexist society, a macho society, and to remove those barriers. And that can only start at the foundation phase in our education system. The other approach, and not for the education, is the healthcare system itself. I think everybody's familiar that our healthcare system, public healthcare system, is under severe strain. And it's the NGOs that are holding the state accountable to make sure that these facilities are available to everybody. We should be having facilities for the poorest of the poor. It doesn't matter whether they can afford it or not, but they must be able to go to the hospital and get the treatment that they deserve, from diagnosis to full treatment at the end of the day. A few hospitals are able to do that, but I think the funding system in the country is also taking a lot of strain. We're all familiar with how state-owned institutions are actually collapsing, and that's where NGOs play a much bigger role in trying to drive that.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Governor. I think you've actually explained everything, but then here is the most important question that I feel that needs to be addressed as well. And we know exactly, earlier on you mentioned that to survive this, it also start with your mind, you know. So we have one question here from Godfrey Twala at Lamontville, and he says, on the day when you really struggled to cope, like the times you lost your colleague in 2014, and the recurrence of cancer in a very close friend, how did you get through each depression and difficult day? What was your coping mechanism? I think this is very, very important to highlight.
It's crucial, absolutely crucial. And to be honest, it's really tough. Yeah. It's really tough and heartbreaking when you lose family, friends, and colleagues to cancer. I know when I first became a supporter of cancer patients and survivors, it destroyed me completely when people that I had supported had passed away. And, you know, sometimes you wish you can control it, but you can't. It's a constant emotional roller coaster, but it's a choice that I've made and others like me have made to do this voluntary work in the cancer space. But this is where support groups like Wings of Hope Cancer Support, and I've mentioned, we were Johannesburg based, and we realized the need for support groups in Durban, Cape Town, and now George. We tried to take some of our services to the people, but under COVID, it's been very, very difficult, and we ran it online. So going back, support groups are very important. They helped me during my journey. And it's also, you know, when someone is lost, you have to find somebody to talk to you, to talk to about how that death affected you. You almost have to have a buddy where you can speak to honestly. You have to have a debriefing session. You know, it doesn't come any easier. However, time does heal. You know, you just not move on, but you've got somebody else to actually take care of that needs you more than the person that has passed away. But there are difficult days, I tell you that. You know, and I think before I go, you know, I just want to share one message of mine personally to everybody listening today, and I'm thankful that you are having me on your show, is that being diagnosed with cancer is a completely life-changing experience. It's absolutely life-changing. I've been given a second life, and I certainly do not waste my time on mindless issues. You know, it changes your perspective. I mean, previously, you'd argue for every simple thing, you know, that, and you have to take a step back and look at what's important. Friends, family, issues that matter to you, like supporting people with that have been diagnosed with cancer is important to me. So I spend a lot of time around that. And I just tell people, regardless whether you have cancer or not, is that to live your best life every day, as no one really knows what tomorrow holds. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Govender. Just to round things up, I'm curious, and I'm sure the listeners are curious wherever they are. Yes. Is there a platform where people can get can reach out and get guidance and some self-help, some support?
Yes.
And if there is, can you please share it with us?
Yeah. So, if I may, so we've got a website. It's called Wings of Hope. .org.za. Okay, Wings of Hope.
.org.za.
Yes, and then we've got an email. It's quite long. It's Wings of Hope, all one word.
Okay.
CancerSA@gmail.com. And we are also on Facebook. And if they could just look for search for Wings of Hope Cancer Support.
Okay.
And they'll find us there. So that's a very, very active group. Our Facebook group is the most active because that's when people connect with us first. And thereafter, we've got regionally based WhatsApp groups for people to connect at any time, day or night, for whatever they have on their mind. It could be a simple thing that I'm smelling chemicals only at this time, or, you know, what do I do about it? And we've got about 300 people on that, but on our Facebook group, we have an excess of about 3,000 people, about 3,500 people that we connect with.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show, Mr. Govender. You have helped to break down quite a handful of myths and to help spread the word about breast cancer, as well as the fact that it can, in fact, affect men, not just women.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you for hosting me, and I'll be happy to talk at any time. And if there's anybody that needs help, I think Jade's got my contact details, and she can just reach out.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
That was Mr. Govinder from the Wings of Hope Cancer Support Group. And you can get help from them. You can reach out to them via email. They are wingsofhopecancersa@gmail.com. On Facebook, they have a group that is Wings of Hope Cancer Support. You just need to search that and you will find them. They're always available to help any day. They also have a website. It is www.wingsofhope.org.za.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.